Today's daf is Erev in daf Chav Ches. We left off on daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are two lines before the lines get wide, before the lines get medium-sized on daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Today we're going to discuss foods that are subject to debate, whether mice or sheni money can be used to purchase them, and explain the basis for each opinion, why some foods, some shitos hold, that one is not allowed to buy those foods with mice or sheni money, and others hold that you may buy those foods with mice or sheni money. And again, all this came up just in the context because the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak said that mayim emelach, water and salt, are not considered chashuv enough foods to make an erev with. And once we mentioned that they're not chashuv enough foods to make an erev with, we also mention that you can't use Maaser Sheni money to buy them and eat them in Yerushalayim. So that we get into the discussion of what qualifies as a food that you're allowed to use Maaser Sheni money to buy and eat in Yerushalayim. The Gemara is then going to discuss specific foods and whether those specific foods can be used for an Erev. And then it's going to discuss using different parts of a palm tree for an Erev as we move back into Erevin, including non-ripened dates, hearts of palm, and the like. And then the Daf concludes with a list of how much the quantity of different types of foods that's necessary in order to make an Eruv. So we left off, B'maiko Miflgi, two lines before they get medium-sized. B'maiko Miflgi, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Lazar v'hani Tanai de l'kaman. What is the basis of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Lazar versus Hani Tanai de l'kaman? What are we talking about? Where do we find the machlokas? So Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer we already had yesterday, who both hold you're allowed to buy fish and with Maaser Sheni money, meaning they think that fish is okay to buy with Maaser Sheni money. They argued about fish brine, if it doesn't have pieces of fish in it. That was the braisa on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. What are Hani Tanai de l'kaman? Didarshi pri mi pri v'gidule karka vlad vlados haaretz v'travai mati dogim v'kol shken sir. We're going to see shitos in Tanoim that say that fish is not, you're not allowed to buy fish and kol shekein, not fish brine, but not even fish with Maaser Sheni money. So what could be the basis of that machlokas, whether you're allowed to buy fish with Maaser Sheni money? I mean, one would imagine fish is certainly food, so if all you need to do is buy something that's food, so why would fish be excluded? What's the basis of this machlokas? So says the Gemara, the basis of the machlokas is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Lazar, Darshi Ribuyei Umi Uti. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Lazar Darshin, whenever the Torah has a general phrase, followed by a specific, followed by a general, they use the Ribuy Miut style of Drasha. Vahani Tanoi Darshi Klalu Prati. But the Tanoim that exclude fish use Klalu Pratu Klal as the style of Drasha. And we're going to see that that leads to two vastly different conclusions. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, Rabbi Lazar Darshi Ribuy Umi Uti. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish and Rabbi Lazar Darshin Ribuy Miut as follows. Pasuk says when it talks about what you do with Maaser Sheni money, Vinasata Hakesef Bechol Asher Tavanav Shecha, that you can use the money for whatever you want, whatever Bechol Asher Tavanav Shecha, whatever your heart desires. So that's Riba, that's a very general statement. And then it starts getting specific. Vabakar, Vatzon, Vayayin, Vashechar starts to tell you different examples of food, and we discussed yesterday what each of those examples adds and how Rabbi Yochanan didn't understand what Babakar added, but he understood how what the rest of the examples add. But you see they're very specific examples. Miate, so that's something very specific. And then the puzzle goes on to say, and whatever your heart desires. So chazav riba, that's again a very general phrase. So riba miyut riba, riba kol. Whenever you have a riboy miyut and riboy, it comes to include everything. Meaning you can use Maaser Sheni money to buy anything. So my Rabbi, call me li. You can buy anything, any type of food. My miate, Rabbi Lazar miate sir, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish miate mayim u'melach. But the fact that there's something specific mentioned teaches us that you could buy everything with an exception. So just what's the exception? So this, according to Rabbi Lazar, sir is the exception. You can't buy fish brine. And according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Gadish, yeah, you can even buy fish brine. All we're excluding is water and salt. That's what you can't buy. But pretty much you can buy everything with Maaser Sheni money. So that's based on that style of drasha, ribuy miyut ribuy, where we include just about everything with a minor exception. So that's why you're allowed to buy fish, and you're only not allowed to buy either fish brine or just salt water, or water and salt, I should say. Vahani tanoi darshi klali uprati. But the tanoim who say you're not even allowed to buy fish with Meiser Sheni money, they darshan not in the style of Riboy Miyut Riboy, which is marba almost everything, they darshan in the style of Klal Upradu Klal. Ditanya, the Brisa says as follows, V'nasata HaKesef B'chol Asher Tavan Afshecha, Klal, that's a general statement, B'bakor V'tzor B'yayin V'sheichar Prat, that's specific, U'B'chol Asher Tushalcha Nafshecha, Chazru Klal, that's again a very general statement, Klal Upradu Klal, Iyatadon, Ella, Ke'ein HaPrat. Not that we're marba everything. Whenever you have a klal upradu klal, the only things that we include, the only things that you're allowed to buy with Meiser Sheni money are things that are ke'ein HaPrat, things that are similar to the examples that are actually provided in the pasuk. So in what way do they have to be similar? Well, ma prat mefurash, pre-mi-pri v'gidulei karka, just like the prat, all the specific examples are a pre-mi-pri, they come from something that comes from something else, and they grow from the ground, avkal pre-mi-pri v'gidulei karka. So anything you're going to use Meiser Sheni money to buy has to fit those two categories. It has to be a pre-mi-pri, has to be gidulei karka. Rashi explains, pre-mi-pri, Egal nolan me'imo, v'chein seh, it said bakar, it said sown, so those are both born from a mother who itself was born from someone else. So that's pre-mi-pri. V'anavim, it said wine, so where, how's that pre-mi-chartzanim, shazorin ha-chartzanim, it comes from the seeds that were planted that came from another fruit. So it all traces back a lineage, it's a pre-mi-pri. So it doesn't, and it's kidule karka, grows from the ground. What do you mean, kidule karka? Bakar and Sona Gidule Karka, says Rashi, yeah, Shekula Nizonin V'Gedelin Min HaKarka. They get nourishment from the ground, they eat that which grows on the ground, and that's enough for it to be called Gidule Karka. So we exclude something that doesn't fit into both of those categories. V'Tanya Yidach, and another Brisa has it, that no, those aren't the categories we're looking for. Ma Prat Mefurash Vlad Vlados Ha'aretz, Afkal Vlad Vlados Ha'aretz, that it has to be something that was created from the ground in Maisa Bereishis, that the way Hashem created it was from the ground. So animals fit that category, and wine fits that category, my benayhu. So what's the machlokas, whether the what we're looking at when we make this klal uprado klal drasha is something that's priu primi gedula karka versus vlad vlados haaretz? Some rabbi, dog, imike benayu, nafkamina is, what about fish? Lamandiyam or primi pri vigidule karka, hani dogim gidule karka ninhu, lamandiyam or vlad vladusar, it's dogim mi maya ivru. If you say primi pri vigidule karka, so fish are also gidule karka. They're also primi pri and they're also gidule karka. But if you say vlad vladusar, well, dogim didn't come from the ground, dogim came from the water. Hashem created them from the water. They are gidule karka because we're assuming at this point that dogim get nourished from eating from the ground. But bottom line is, we wanted to figure out originally, now we're moving on already, but we wanted to figure out originally what's the source of the machlokas, whether you're allowed to buy fish with Meiser Sheni money. So it seems that the source of that machlokas is whether you darshan riboy me at riboy, in which case certainly you can buy fish with Meiser Sheni money because you're allowed to buy just about anything, with the exception of water and salt and the possible exception of fish brine. And but if you hold klal upradu klal, so then maybe there's room to say, not depending on how you apply your klal upradu klal, there might be room to say that you're not allowed to buy fish with Meiser Sheni money, because klal upradu klal might teach you that it needs to be vlad vlados haaretz, and fish is not vlad vlados haaretz. Fish does not come from the aretz. The Rambam writes, Lefichach ein lochin bekesav meiser mayim umelach kmein upitrios v'shein giduleya min haaretz. That you're not allowed to buy with kesav meiser water, salt, or mushrooms and things like that, because they don't grow from the ground. They're not gidulim min haaretz. So it sounds like you're not allowed to be ma'ariv with them, because they're not b'chlal gidulim min haaretz also. The Achronim just asked that the Gemara Maseches Brachos on Daf Mem says Kmein and Pitros are called Gidule Karka. So if a person takes a neder, called Gidule Karka Alai, so he's not allowed to get any anah from Gidule Karka, he's not allowed to have mushrooms either. But they're just not Yonik Min Haaretz, like other Peros are Yonik Min Haaretz, and that's why the Brachos, Shakol Nia B'dvaro, it's not a bird Priyadama, because it's not Yonik Min Haaretz, but it is called Gidule Karka. So how does Rambam say Ein Gidulehem Min Haaretz? These are things that are not even Gidule Min Haaretz. So the Achronim will explain to be miyashiv the Rambam that according to the Rambam, kamein pitros are not bichlal gidulei karka that are learned from the klal lupratu klal, since they're not yonek mina aretz mamish. Meaning the gidulei karka that we talk about is there are different meanings of the term gidulei karka. Also, when it comes to meiser, it has to be yonek mina aretz, like the prat, which is gidulei mina aretz, and you make a bar pri adama. So that's the halacha when it comes to meiser, is more of a din in yonika than it is a din in gidulei karka in terms of where they grow. So maybe gidulei karka for some halachos, but not for other halachos. L'gabei nedarim may be gidulei karka, but not for other halachos. So says Gemara, wait a second. So we tried to figure out, what's the nafkamina between the two brises? We had one brisa that concluded that the food has to be pre gidulei karka, something that reproduces from its own seed and is also nourished by the ground. And another brisa that said that the food only needs to be vlados haaretz, it has to be generated from something that was generated from the ground and not from water. So we said that the nafkamina is fish. Dagim is the nafkamina. So says the Gemara, is that true? Umiyam rabbi dagim gidulei karka ninu? Does dagim even count as gidulei karka? Meaning we said that how is fish the nafkamina? Because dagim comes from the water, not from the ground, but it would still qualify as primi privi gidulei karka. But is that true? Is dagim gidulei karka? Vamar abaye, didn't abaye teach us? Achal putisa loka arba. If a person eats putisa, he gets 4 malkios. Putisa is a sheret hamayim katan, Rashi says, a very small water creature. So one gets 4 malkios. This is this week's parsha about the different items, different foods you're not allowed to eat, different animals you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat shrotzim. So a person eats a putisa, there are 4 malkios, 2 for eating shrotzim in general and 2 for eating water shrotzim. Nemala, person eats a bug, loka chamesh, he gets 5 malkios, because there is an extra malkios, there are 3 malkios for specifically land creatures when it comes to bugs. So, and sira, loka shesh, person eats a sira, which is a sheretz ha'of, he gets 6 malkios. When it comes to eating bugs, those are the most bang for your buck in terms of violating isurim is with eating bugs. You can violate many, many isurim when you eat bugs. So, but the point is, we said that that according to Abai, if we eat petisa, you get 4 malchios. Vim isa petisa nami lilki mishum sharetz hashoretz ala aretz. If dagim are called gidulei karka, then for putisa you shouldn't only get malkus for the water creature malkios, you should also get malkus for the ground creature malkios, meaning it should also be a violation of sheretz hashoretz ala aretz if you call it gidulei karka. So how can you say that Abayi holds that fish are not that fish are gidulei karka? We see over here that no, Abayi holds fish are not gidulei karka. That's why you don't get malkus for eating the fish shrutz on account of them being gidulei karka. You only get the water shrutz in malkios. So Ella Amar Ravina, so Ravina says, you're right, we have to come up with a different nafkamina between the two brises. Again, the one brisa that says that the qualifications are primi privi gidulei karka, and the other one that says vlad dosaris are the qualifications. We have to come up with a second nafkamina. Before we get to that second nafkamina, Rashi has an interesting note over here. When he talks about the putisa, which is a sheret hamayim, a very tiny sheret hamayim, Rashi points out, it's so tiny, it's ainbo kezayis. It's less than the size of a kezayis. Aye, how can you get malchus for an achila pachus mikezayis? So says Rashi, v'afilu hachi, kiven deberyahi, achilihi v'loka dalin malchios. Since it's an entire creature, anything that's complete, that's an entire unit, even when it's less than a kezayis, one would get malchus for achila. Achila is normally defined as a kezayis, but a beria is a davar chashuv, and therefore one would get malchus for it even when it's even if it's not a kezayis. Rashi Maseches Makos says that when we say you get malchus for eating a potisa, Rashi Makos of Tazayin and Bey says it has to be that you were boleya the potisa, that you swallowed it whole. And he says the same thing by the nemala. Why does he say they have to swallow it whole? So some of the achronim understand Rashi that if you chew it, then it's no longer a beria. It's only a beria if it remains intact. Once you chew it, it's no longer intact by the time you swallow it, so therefore you're only going to get malchus if a person swallows it whole. That's actually machlokas in the Yerushalmi in Maseches Nazir, between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're chayiv, and since we pass like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish, so it could be that you're chayiv even if you chew it, not like Rashi. But again, Rashi seems to assume that only if you swallow it whole. They also quote in the Yalkut Birum over here in the back of from the Sifli, quotes from the Ugas Eliyahu. Not sure what that is. It says, Vadai, a person doesn't eat shkatzim urmasim b'fnei atzman. You don't eat them on their own. You don't sit there to a bowl of shkatzim urmasim. Because it's disgusting. Even people who are areli leiv would never eat taloim b'fnei atzman. It's just not something that's a human thing to do, to sit down and eat a bowl of buns. What do? You eat a salad. You eat whatever. You drink, I don't know if it's still an issue, probably is the New York City water. With the we don't have New York City water. So whatever it is, if there are bugs that are an issue. So that you're not eating bugs, you're eating whatever you're eating, and there happen to be bugs there. You eat it all day taroves together with the pri, and still you get malchus for the achila. So he says, you see from here that beria in the betela is a din min haTorah, meaning we're talking about the din of beria that even when it's pachas mikzayitz, it's a davar chashuv. But there's another din of beria, and that is beria in the betela, that even though normally something is batal berov, batal b'shishim, right, there are ways to be mevatal things, but b'taroves things can become batal b'taroves. It must be that there's a din d'oraisa of beriyeh b'teila, otherwise it does not shayach that a person is going to be eating shkatzim u'masim. And he says that's what Rashi means when he says your bala sharat amayim, that your balaya the potisa, meaning your balaya together with mayim, and nevertheless you get malchus because it's not nisbatel, doesn't become batel al yaday that haroves. When it comes to the bug, Rashi says that you loke chamesh for the nemala. So Rashi says he mentions over here on the nemala that not Rashi over here, but Rashi Maseches Makos Daf Tazayin and Beis says that it talks about where you're boleya a nemala ba'oda chaya, while it's still alive, you're eating this bug. So the Rosh Yosef points out that lechora it sounds like Rashi holds that only if it's alive it would still have a din of beria. That once it's dead, it loses the status of beria. The problem is there's a Gemara, it seems not that way. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Beis and Beis, says someone who eats a tzipor tmeya bimisasa, he's chayiv even if it's less than a kezayis, because it is a beria. So it could be that when Rashi says that you're eating the live bug, it's not because he would say that once it's dead, it's not a beria anymore. No, what he's telling us is that even though eating a live bug is not the derech achila, nevertheless, you're still going to be chayiv, meaning that apparently, achila shelo kederech is only going to be a patur, is only going to get you off the hook from any onesh when the isser is done b'loshon achila, when the isser is said b'loshon achila. But by a barrier, you're chayiv even when it's pachas b'kazayis, even when it's not an achila per se, and therefore, even when it's shelo kederech achila, you're going to be chayiv. If the definition of the Isser is not going to be an Isser of achila, so then even shelo kederech achila, one is going to be chayiv. The Aruch Lener, however, says that no, the reason Rashi says it has to be alive is because he says the Isser of shratzim, why do we call it a sheretz? Because it's shoretz al aretz, it's a creepy crawly, because it crawls. Dead bugs don't crawl. So the Isser midar rice of shratzim may only be when they're odon shoretz, when they are still crawling. If they can no longer crawl, then maybe it wouldn't be subject to the Isser Daraisa anymore. Okay, so anyways, we're back in the Gemara. We're looking for another Nafkamina now, another Mai Benayhu, a Nafkamina between these two Brises, whether the qualifications are Pri V'Gidulei Karka, or Vlad Vlados Haaretz. So, Ella Amar Ravina, four lines from the top of the page, Chav Chesom and Aleph, Ella Amar Ravina, Ofo Sika Benayhu. You want a Nafkamina? Nafkamina is birds. L'mandi Amar Pri V'Gidulei Karka, Ninami G'Gidulei Karka. If you say primi privi gdule karka, they're also nourished from the ground, so birds would fit. Lemandiam revlad vladus haaretz. But if you're going to say that it has to be something that comes that has to be generated from the ground, so they're not generated from the ground. They were generated from the mud, from the combination of ground and water, from some muddy substance. So man demar bi ofos mai taimei, uman demamet ofos mai taimei. So the Gemara says how the one who includes ofos, what's the logic, and the one that excludes ofos, what's the logic? So man demar bi ofos, meaning what's the logic, but what's the halachic, what's the analysis of the psukim that leads you to these conclusions? So man demar bi ofos kasavar klala basra dafka pradu klal nasa klal mosif ala prat, that the last klal is dafka, is meant to be taken very literally, and therefore pradu klal nasa klal mosif ala prat visrablu kol mili. So the klal uprat, the klal adds to the prat, and therefore we include everything. So what does the first klal do? Vahani klal akama lumuute kol dolo domi le mishnei tzadin. And the first klal says that whatever is not comparable to the details in at least two ways is not going to be included. Uman de mamit ofos, and the one that excludes ofos will say kasavar klal kama dafka klal uprat ein bchal el mashar prat, that the first klal is more literally, and therefore klal uprat we only include what we mention in the details. Hani in midiachrin lo, that only that which is specified would be included. Aye, what does the last klal then add? Vahani klal basra lerubui kol d'damile mishloshat stadin, and then the last klal is coming to tell me that we're only going to include things that are similar to the prat on three levels. So it's not enough to be similar to the prat on two levels, and therefore which would have allowed birds in, but it has to be similar to the prat on three levels, and therefore birds are excluded. Good. So that's just how they arrive at their various conclusions. Again, the three levels would be primi pri, kidule karka, vlad vlad saaretz. So if it doesn't have all three, it's not going to be included. Birds don't have all three. They may have two. They're primi pri, kidule karka on two levels. They're similar to the prat, but they're not similar to the prat on all three levels. Am Rabbi de Mishmei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei de Rav Ma'arvin b'pa'apuin. But now we go out of Ma'aser Sheni back to Erevin discussions. So we're going to list a group of foods that may and may not be used for an Eruv. So Rabbi Yehuda Mishmei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas says in the name of Rav, well, you're allowed to make an Eruv b'pa'apuin u'b'chal galogos u'b'gud gudanios avalo b'chazes velo b'kafnios, but not with chazes and kafnios. So the Gemara is going to analyze the last three of these items, the good gudanios, which said you are allowed to make an Erev with, and the chazes and the kafnios, which we said you're not allowed to make an Erev with. So let's see. Uba good gudanios, mima arvin. Good gudanios is coriander, some type of a berry or something. So can you make an Erev with good gudanios? Is that really true, what we just said, that you're allowed to make an Erev with good gudanios? Vatanya, but don't we have a brisa that tells us good gudanios, merube banim yochlu, chasuche banim lo yochlu, that someone who has lots of kids should eat good gudanios, is allowed to eat good gudanios, but someone who doesn't have kids is not allowed to eat good gudanios. Apparently, good gudanios are memait the zera. It has the effect of making a person unable to have children. So if you already have lots of kids, so fine, you can eat good gudanios. But if a person doesn't yet have children, so you should not eat good gudanios. You want to be able to do the mitzvah of puravu. Vim hukshu lezera af merube banim lo yochlu. But if the stalks have already hardened, so then, even if you have a lot of kids, you shouldn't eat them because they're just bad. They're harmful to the body. So ask the Gemara, how can we say that you're allowed to make an Erev with good gudanios? Don't you see that once the stalks of good gudanios harden, they're just bad for you? It's bad for the body, so it's not a food. So the Gemara is going to give three answers. First answer is the most pashut. We didn't say it's not a food. We said once it hardens, it's not a food and it's bad for you. So first simple answer is Tirgama Ashalok Shulugzaru Murube Banim. Maybe we're speaking about unhardened coriander being used by people who already have lots of children, so it won't negatively affect them. They're allowed to have it, and it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly good food for them. So that's a simple answer. Or maybe we're talking about unhardened coriander, and we're even talking about people who don't have children making an Erev with it, because the fact that it's a food for people who do have children means that it's a food. So once it's a food, it's a food. You're allowed to make an Erev out of it, even though you're not supposed to be eating it. Where do we ever find such a thing, that if I'm not allowed to eat it, I can make an Erev because someone else is allowed to eat it? That's our Mishnah. Milo Tanan, the Mishnah says, Ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin. A nazir is allowed to make an Erev with wine. Uli Yisrael b'truma. Yisrael is allowed to make an Erev with truma. So what you see is that even though it's not roi for one person to eat, the fact that it's roi for somebody else to eat even allows the person who may not eat it make an Erev out of it. Why did the first So over here also we'd say the same thing, just like we say it by the Nazir, just like we say it by the Nazir with the Ayin, by the Yisrael with the truma. So we'd say it over here by the person who doesn't have children using the good Gidanios. So why didn't the first answer assume that way? The first answer assumes no. Only if you're someone who already has children, you could use good gedanias. Did they not know the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, unless you're allowed to use yayin. So what would be the problem with someone who doesn't have children using good gedanias? So you have to be mechalik l'chora between that which is physically bad and that which is halachically bad. Meaning wine would taste very delicious to a nazir. There's nothing wrong with there's something halachically wrong with it. Truma would be very delicious for a Yisrael. There's something halachically wrong with it. As opposed to the good gedanios, it's a physical problem that someone who doesn't have children is going to physically harm him. So that might be worse. That if it's going to physically harm, it may not even be called a food for him because it's something that he would never eat, even absent any halachic considerations. V'ibay seima, a third explanation, ki kamarav bandakuki madayi. Maybe we can only use handakuki madayi, a harmless type of coriander. Maybe enochinami. The coriander that's bad for you, it's not a food and you're not allowed to use as an eruv. When did Rav say you're allowed to use coriander as an eruv? That's a certain strain of it that's not bad for you. That happens to be good for you and happens to not cause any problems with having children. Now, it is clear in this Gemara that someone who doesn't have children should not eat foods that are mema'it the zera. So the question is, what does it mean, chasuchei banim, someone who's lacking children? Does it mean lacking the halachic requirements of puravu, or does it mean lacking any children? What if a person has five sons? He still hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of puravu to the full because you need to have a boy and a girl for the mitzvah of puravu. Should he already not be eating, or is it just saying someone who doesn't have any children should not be eating? So this is a machlokas. Machlokas over here in terms of in the seems the Rishonim and the Achronim in terms of how to understand what it means chasuche banim. The real makor of this machlokas is the Gemara in Tainus says chasuche banim are meshamshim mitosein b'shnei ra'avon, that people who are chasuche banim, whatever that means, are allowed to have tashmish amita during years of famine. Even though we learn from Yosef at Tzaddik that one is not allowed to have tashmish amita during years of famine, chasuche banim are allowed to. So some of the Rishonim explain, Rashi over there in Tainus and Daf Yud Aleph, and the Ritva and the Ran and other Rishonim explain, that means someone who has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu. What is the mitzvah of Puravu? So that's a Mishnah Yevamos and Daf Samach Aleph. Beis Shammai holds two boys is a key mitzvah of Puravu. Beis Hillel says Zachar and Akeva, one boy, one girl. But the Sheet of the Me'iri is that only someone who is Ein Lo Banim Klal is allowed to be Mishami Shmita, B'Shnei Ravon. Only someone who has no children at all is allowed to have Tashma Shmita during years of famine, and that's what the Taz writes in Tavkofay and Dalit, Sivkat and Beis, that someone who's holy chariri, in the banum klal, is allowed to have tashma shamita during years of famine. So the Shvus Yaakov is in a tshuva in Chel Gimel, Simon Lamed, is medayik from the Lashon of the Gemara in our sugya, that it must be that it refers to someone who has not been mekayim the mitzvah of Pur Revu. That's still included in chasuche banim. How so? Because the Lashon of the Gemara, chasuche banim lo yochlu, it sounds like only someone who doesn't have any children at all, that they shouldn't eat good gedanios. But if you have children, even though it's not a lot of children, then you can eat good gedanios. But he says, but if you look at who the Gemara says may eat good gedanios, it doesn't say mishi yesh lo banim, it says merube banim yochlu. Someone who has riboy of children, a lot of kids, sounds like someone who doesn't have riboy banim, someone who doesn't have lots and lots of kids, should not be eating this. So it sounds like even if you do have some kids, you just don't have lots of kids. So where do you draw the line between some and lots? It must be that you draw the line at Puravu, that if someone has some children but they haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Puravu, they shouldn't be eating this food. Rav Yosef Engel just points out one of his yesodos that he has throughout Shas. He always makes the ha'ara that merube always means at least three. A rove, whenever we call something a rove of something, a major amount of something, it has to always be at least three. So he says it doesn't work according to the Shvus Yaakov. Shvus Yaakov says that a merube banim is allowed to eat this stuff. Why would he need three kids? You only need two. You only need one boy, one girl. According to Beis Shammai, two boys. So why would you need merube banim? He says doesn't seem to fit very nicely with the Shvus Yaakov. There's also the Rav Yosef Engel quotes that they have a similar machlokas Rishonim. Tshuva Sarashba discusses in Chelik Gimel Siman Shin Mem whether the halach that a person is shoei mishto for Eser Shonim for 10 years and they don't have any children, that he has to divorce her. So that halacha that we learn from Avram Avinu, so that halacha is that in order to marry someone else who will be able to have children with, so that halacha Is that only if you haven't had any children? What if you've had some children, you just haven't done Puravu? It may be related to this discussion. Although one could argue very, very strongly over there that that's very different. Now, why is it that you have to divorce? It's not because you haven't yet done the mitzvah of Puravu. It's that you have no chance of the mitzvah of Puravu. So once you've had a child with that woman, even if you haven't had, you flip a coin 10 times, and you have, after 10 years, you have 10 boys or 10 girls. So it doesn't mean that there's no chance of the mitzvah of Puravu. So that's it's also could be argued for a different reason why the halacha wouldn't apply in that case. And that's why in Shulchan Aruch, I think we say, not in this, we don't do it anyway, but for the most part. But another reason why it wouldn't apply is that it could very well be that that's someone who never had any sort of kiyum, a mitzvah of Puravu. The din that you have a son and a daughter, then you have the full kiyum mitzvah to the extent that you're putter from having more children. But every child you have is certainly a kiyum mitzvah. Someone with no children never had the ability to participate in the kiyum mitzvah at all. But someone who has children of a single gender certainly has a kiyum mitzvah of puravu, just not the fullest level kiyum to the extent that they will now be putter from continuing to have children. Okay, so that's the discussion about the merube banim and the chasuche banim. Says the Gemara further now. The next item on the list of foods that we discuss whether you're allowed to make an Erev with or not is chazis. So what did we say about chazis? We said no Erev with chazis. Chazis is a green, unripened grain. Ube chazis lo, can you really not make an Erev with chazis, with this green grain? V'ha amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, kashus v'chazis ma'arvin behen u'mvarchon leim bar pri adama. Don't you have explicit in the name of Rav that you can make an Erev with them, and that you even make a bar pri adama on them, so it's a perfectly normal vegetable? So lo kasha. Hamakami da'asi Rav l'bavel, halabasar da'asi Rav l'bavel. Now, Rav thought originally that it was not a food, but then he came to Bavel and he saw that everybody eats it. So once he saw that in Bavel everybody eats it, so he changed his mind, and then it became a food in Rav's mind, and therefore he changed his mind, held you're allowed to make an Erev with it. So says what? Just because some crazy people in Bavel eat it, that changes it into a food? Bavel av Yeruba di Alma. What is Bavel, the majority of the world, that whatever they do in Bavel is going to determine what's a food? Vatanya hapulva sa'oravat tilton shazaron liyarek batal daito etzel kol adam. That if a person plants certain things liyarek, we say batal daito etzel kol adam. If he's doing something that's not normal, so forget about it. Meaning if he wants to eat it as is, as a vegetable, and it's not something that's normally eaten that way, so it doesn't make it a vegetable. Lefichach zaran chayiv v'yarkon pater. So as a zera, it would be chayiv and meiser, even though your intention was as yerek, but as a yerek, it's pater. Hashachlayim v'agargir shazaran liyerek misasrin yerek v'zera zaran lezera misasrin zera v'yerek. So gargir and shechlayim are different. They can be eaten in either way, as zera or as yerek, but the bottom line is that we don't take the minhag of a few crazy people who happen to eat something a certain way and say, oh, okay, that makes it a food. If we would say, if it's not normal for most people to eat something in a certain way, so then it's not a food. So why, just because they eat these green grains in Bavel, should that make a difference? So answers the Gemara, Kikam Rav, bidagnun yasa, that when Rav said his shita, Rav only allowed garden variety green grain, which is eaten everywhere, not only in Bavel. Meaning, enochinami, Bavel would not determine what we hold as a food and what we would not hold as a food. But there are certain garden varieties of green grain that everybody eats. That's where Rav says that you can make an Erev with it. But regular green grain, you cannot make an Erev with it. Zera gargir lemay chazi. So the Gemara just parenthetically points out that zera gargir, what are you going to use it for? So, Am Rav Yochanan sheken rishonim shalom. If people didn't have peppers, they would grind them up and use it as a spice. Rabbi Zeira, when he had a difficult time learning, when he became too weak to learn, he would go sit by the doorway of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yehuda Barami. Amar, and he said, that when this way, when the Rabbanon walk by, I'll stand up for them. Meaning, I'm not able to learn right now. I'm not able to focus on my learning. So it still will. I'll still be able to benefit. I'll still be able to get a mitzvah. I'll stand where a lot of rabbis walk by, and I'll stand up for them. I'll sit where a lot of rabbis walk by, and when they come by, I'll stand up for them, and that way I'll get schar. So that was his plan. Now the reason we're bringing this is because of the conversation that happened when he did this. But before we get to that conversation, why did he want to do this? Because akabel buhu igra. That way I'll get some schar. So all the achronim ask. It's a Mishnah Maseches Avos, first paragraph of Pirkei Avos. Al tiyu kavadim amsham shenas harav al manas lekabel pras. You're not supposed to do mitzvos so that you can get schar. You're supposed to do mitzvos to do mitzvos, to serve the Ribbono Shalom, not just to get schar. So how could he say that he's going to do this just to get schar? So the Pesach Einayim in Brachos Daf Chaf Ches says, based on Rashi, that Rabbi Zera would stand for the Talmidim also, even though he was greater than the Talmidim. That he had no mitzvah to do, he had no chiyuv to do. Any mitzvah that a person is not mechuyuv to do, you're allowed to do al menas lekabel pras. You're allowed to do it to be mekabel schar, if you aren't mechuyuv in the mitzvah in the first place. The Bnei Yisachar suggests that the schar of standing in front of Talmidei Chachamim is different than the schar of other mitzvahs. The schar of this mitzvah is an increased sense of Yirah Shamayim. So that you're allowed to do if you want to increase your sense of Yirah Shamayim. It's not stam that you can get paid for it. You're going to get some other reward. It's a spiritual schar of an increased sense of Yirah Shamayim. In the Pnei Shlomo, he suggests, based on what the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshen Mishpat Simon Lamed Daled, that even though a person is not allowed to take money to testify, but he's allowed to take schar for going to see something in order that he should later be able to testify. So if that's true, then maybe the same is true with doing a mitzvah. Even though you can't do a mitzvah al manas lekabel schar, but you can go to put yourself in a situation where you'll be able to do a mitzvah so that later you'll be able to get schar. But there are halachic implications of this as well. In the Oneg Yontif, he quotes from the Marsha's comment in Sota Daf Yudal, when it talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael, so in order to be able to do the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says, why do you want to go into Eretz Yisrael so badly? Don't worry. You want to get the schar of the mitzvahs of Tlius Baretz? Okay, you get it. I'll give it to you right now. I'm Hashem, I could give you that. So you get the schar. So how could he say that he was mevakish to be mekabel schar? They asked the Marsha. You're not allowed to be mishamish shetrav al menas lekabel pras. So the Marsha is mitarets that it's dafka by a mitzvah that you're already chayiv in. You're not allowed to do al menas lekabel pras. But to put yourself in a place of chiyuv when you're not already chayiv in, that you can do al menas lekabel pras. To put yourself in a situation where a chiyuv will come, and when you didn't have to put yourself in that situation, that one is allowed to do al menas lekabel pras. So maybe the same is true by Rabbi Zeira. You don't have to stand if you know that there are rabbis walking somewhere. You only have to stand if you're there. So to put yourself there, where you're then going to have to stand, that you're allowed to do al menas lekabel pras. So says the Oneg Yontif, it could be that when the Chachamim say mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu, elu la'ol al tzavareim, that mitzvos are not considered hana'a, rather it's considered a yoke on us, maybe that's only by a mitzvah. Similar svara, he says, maybe that's only by a mitzvah that we're already chayiv in. That's where it's lav lehanos nitnu, but not by a mitzvah that a person puts himself in the situation to become a chayiv. Maybe in that situation we would say it is lehanos nitnu. And therefore, just like the svar of the Marsha, so he says, someone, let's say, takes a neder hana from all of his nechassim. He's not allowed to get any hana from his nechassim. So you're allowed to give his money to do mitzvos, because mitzvos lav lehanos nitnu. He's allowed to use his money to do mitzvos, because that's not called that he's getting hana. What about tzedakah? Can he give tzedakah? So says the Oneg Yontif, maybe not. Maybe he's not allowed to give his money to tzedakah, because once he was madir hana from all of his nechassim, he himself is an ani. If he's an ani, he's pata from tzedakah. So by putting himself in a situation, in a chiyuv, by doing a mitzvah that he himself is pata from, maybe that's called hana from the mitzvah, because mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu is only when you're actually chayiv in the mitzvah. That's what he suggests. To derive from this analysis of doing a mitzvah al menas lekabel pras. There is another explanation that they quote from the Kinyan Torah b'halacha, where he says that in general there are two reasons. There are two reasons that a person has a requirement to be mechabi talmid chachamim. Number one, to be mechabi the talmid chacham, so that the talmid chacham feels the respect that you're giving him. But the second reason is that it does something for for us, that it gives, it increases our own sense of Kavanat Torah. So the Hidur Pnei Zaken is not only for the sake of the Zaken, it's V'yareisa Me'elokecha, the pasuk goes on to say, that it creates a sense of Yiras Hashem. And that's what Rabbi Zera was saying, that I want that schar of that Yiras Shemayim that I'm going to get when I stand for a Talmud Chacham. Based on that, there's a discussion in the Achronim, what if a Rebbe is blind and he's not going to see that you're standing for him? So do you still have a chiv to stand? So mitzad, the cover that he's going to feel, he's not going to feel any cover, he's not going to know. But maybe mitzad, the second element of what it does for us to show cover at Torah, maybe that's still worthwhile. Okay, so what was the conversation that happened? Nafagasi Yenuka de Beirav, Amalei, Maya Gamra Chorabcha. So a Yenuka de Beirav came out, a child came out, he said, "Nu, what did you learn in Yeshiva today?" Amalei, Kashus Barapri Adama, Chazes Shakol Niyab. So the kid said to Rabbi Zera that I learned what bracha to make on green grain and on hops, that the green grain is shahakol and hops is bar pri adama. Amalei adarabba, Yibcham Estavri, he said, I think it should be the opposite. Haimei arakamarbi, vahaimei avir karabi. Green grain should be adama because it grows from the ground. Hops should be shahakol because they grow from the air. V'hilchsuki yinuka debei rav. We pass him like the kid. Mai taima, hai gomar piri vahai lav gomar piri. Because the green grain is shahakol because it's not fully ripened, but the hops are bar pri adama because they're real full fruit, they're fully ripened. What about the taina that the green grain at least grows from the ground? Loi kashus nami me arukah rabbi, hops also grow from the ground. Because if you kill all the bushes around it from where it's growing, you're going to see the hops are going to die also, so it also is considered to be nourished from the ground. So now we move on to the next food. So we said that you're not allowed to be ma'ariv with kavnios, which are immature dates, unripened dates. So is that true? Vatanya. You're allowed to buy unripened dates with Meiser Sheni money and their Metami Tumas Ochlin, meaning they're food. Rabbi Yudomer Kara, Reuke Eitz Lekol Devarav, Kara has a din of Eitz for everything. El Shenikach because of Meiser, it's just that you're allowed to use Meiser Sheni money on it. The Kafnios, and again, back to our topic of Kafnios, these unripened dates, Harehen Kipri Lekol Devarav, El Shepaturus Mena Meiser. They are absolutely a food, Elamai, they're pater from Meiser. But the bottom line is, you see that they're a food, so why would you not be able to make an Erev with it if it's clearly a food? So I answer Gemara, Hasam bedinishani. Maybe that's talking about male dates. The Bryce is talking about male palm trees that will never mature, so it's already considered a fruit in its immature state. But from a female tree, it would not be considered a food since one day it will mature. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, Bahaldeimer Rabbi Yudah Paturus Mina Meiser. Is that where Rabbi Yudah says that it's going to be pata from Meiser? Vatani Am Rabbi Yudah Lohus Group, Pagi Bisione, Elul in your Meiser Bavad, Pagi Bisione Vehini de Tuvina, Chayavan Bavad. Meiser. We see that Rabbi Yudah holds non-ripened dates are chayiv maisos, indicating that when he says that non-ripened dates are potter from maisos, it's speaking about dates that are capable of maturing, not dates that will never mature. So nevertheless, he still says that it's potter from maisos. El yolam lav bin ischani, uli'inyan tumas ochlin shiny. So the Gemara suggests that it's talking about nischani, and we're talking about and when it comes to to Tumas Ochlin, it's different. Kedam Rabbi Yochanan, Hol V'roi L'maskan Al Yedei Ar, Hachanami Hol V'Yochanan L'maskan Al Yedei Ar. Since it could be sweetened, anything that can be made edible by cooking it can be used for an Erev. Meaning, so the Gemara is suggesting they're not edible, it cannot be used as an that anything that's not edible cannot be used as an Erev. The only reason these unripened dates can be used as an Erev is that Yochanan L'maskan Al Yedei Ar, that they are edible, they're made edible very easily by cooking it. And once you cook it, and it's made edible, so then you can use it as an Erev. What was the context of Rabbi Yochanan's original statement? If you have bitter shkedim, so when they're small, they're chayiv maisos. Gedolim paturim, when they're larger and they're really bitter, then they're pater from maisos. Mesukim, the sweeter shkedim, gedolim chayavin, so when they're large, they're chayiv, katanim paturim, but when they're small, they're pater because they're not yet sweet. Rabbi Shim, Rabbi Yossi, Amrim, Shemav, Zevzel Liftar, that they're both pater. And others say, no, they're both chayiv. Amr Rabbi Law, Hor Rabbi Chanin, but supporting Kedivrei Omer, Zevza Liftar. The Paskins that Zevza Liftar, they're both Potter. L'mandiyam Zevza L'chiyav L'may Chazi. If you hold that they're both Chayav, well, what are they useful for if they're bitter? Am Rabbi Yochanan Hol V'Roy L'maskan Al Yedei Ar. Now you can sweeten them using fire, and therefore it's considered that they're not bitter. Amr Mar Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kore Hareyu Ke'etz L'chol Devar. So we just said that Kor is like Eitz L'chol Devar. It's like a piece of wood. El Shenikach because of Meiser. But you're allowed to use Meiser money to buy it. Kor is hearts of palm. So they're not considered food for any halachos, except that you're allowed to buy them with Meiser Sheni money, because bottom line, people eat them. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama. That's the same thing the Tanakama says. What's the Nafkamina? So Gemara has two suggestions. Amar Abayi, Shulka V'Tognu Ika Benayu. Abayi holds the Tanakama would hold it can be turned into a food with cooking. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's like a piece of wood. It can't even be turned into a food with cooking. Does anyone hold that if you cook it, it can't be made edible? Even a hide of an animal could be made edible when you cook it. Certainly hearts of palm could be made edible. Ella Amar Rava Ika Benayu Bracha. No, this is what they're arguing about. What bracha do you make on hearts of palm? Rav Yehuda says Bar Priadam, Shmuel says Shakol Niyabedvaro. Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Priadam Uchlahu, because it's food. Shmuel Amar Shakol Niyabedvaro. Kivin Shasof Ala Hakshos Lomu Brachinu Le Bar Priadam. You can't make a Bar Priadam because it's going to harden and become inedible. So Amar Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinna Kavasech Mistavra. That's known. Shasof Ala Hakshos and Brachinu Le Bar Priadam. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, you know what? You're probably right because a radish also hardens and we still make a Bar Priadam. But Velohi, that analysis is incorrect. Snow not the inchi adaita de pugla, dikl not the inchi adaita de kura. People plant radishes for the radishes. People don't plant palm trees for the hearts of palm. They plant palm trees for the dates. The avulgav de kalse Shmuel Rav Yehuda hilchsa kavase de Shmuel. Even though Shmuel tried to support Rav Yehuda the Amora from a brisa, the halach is like Shmuel that the bracha shakel. Just not to get confused, what we're saying is the Tanakama holds like Rav Yehuda the Amora that it's a vegetable and the bracha would be adama. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana holds like Shmuel that it's not a vegetable and therefore would be shahakol. Okay.